News Talk 1400 KFRU is proud to present the KFRU Heritage Series with David Lyle, celebrating our history and heritage of Columbia and Boone County. Presented by Columbia EDP, payroll that makes sense. From News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Well, for those of you who are regular listeners to KFRU, you might recognize the voice of our guest today on the Heritage Show. And I'm really not sure exactly how to introduce him other than someone who has been a contributor. I've felt like I've come to know him over the years of working at KFRU, and he has filled in many blanks of information. He's a quickie quiz winner oftentimes. Steve Black, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, David. I'm fine.
Nice to have you as our guest on the Heritage Show. And you know why I've asked you here? You have called in sometimes, and you've always had some interesting things to tell me about the history of this town, some of it filling in some of the blanks of other guests that we've had on. And so I thought, why not have you as a guest? So I'm looking forward to this visit.
Well, thanks for having me.
You've grown up in Columbia, correct?
I was born and raised, born at Boone Hospital, 1954, and lived here all my life.
I want to start with one of the first things that I can remember, and that is you shared with me some information about toll gates, and I don't remember how that conversation started. Do you remember why we got on the conversation of toll gates one time?
I think Al German brought it up, and so I had the picture and the information on it, and it was my great-grandmother, Lucy Ellis, and she took care of the tollgate just north of New Salem Church.
Why was there a tollgate there?
I think it's the way to pay for the road.
It's interesting because we think of the toll road situation now where everybody's kind of averse to the idea of having a toll road interstate across the state. But what time period are we talking about for this toll?
You know, I think it was during the 20s, I believe. Basically, what it was there was a chain that was pulled across the road. Someone drove up, they would ring a bell, my grandmother would come out, collect the toll, and lower the chain.
So would it have been on what is today Highway 63?
That's right, yes.
So this would be either direction?
Yes.
Just a chain across the road?
That's right.
Do you have any idea what it costs to drive through there?
I have no idea. No idea.
What was the facility like? I mean, did she have a house?
The state provided her with a house, and that's what she lived in. And later on, I don't recall the date, but they closed that down, and they said she got on an old mule and rode it up to her sister's house, and said, well, I'm out of a job now.
How many years did she do it? Do you have any idea?
Do not know.
So if she was not there, see, the toll road idea where there's a person there, and she was the only, I would guess, toll gatekeeper there.
Yep, she sure was.
If she was out of town or doing something else or shopping, what happened?
She was there all the time. Other people went shopping for her.
She was there all the time?
24/7. Yes.
Did she tell you stories about this?
Well, no, because she's my great-grandmother.
Oh, great-grandmother. My great-grandmother, I would have been, I remember mine, and I can't remember when she passed away. I would have been pretty young.
I never knew her. I never knew her.
Man, what a job. But there are pictures that have remained from that.
Oh, yes. I brought you one to show you. That, and then I believe a picture of, I believe I brought it, of my great-grandfather. He used to be the judge here, and judges then were like county commissioners and stuff. He cured hams, and
He probably was part of the, you know, Boone County has a great tradition of cured hams.
Yes, he was. He'd cure hams, and he kept them in a. It's kind of funny. He kept them in a the old smokehouse. I never knew him either, but they said he had a real sophisticated alarm system, and it was in the Missourian. It was a bell inside his bedroom that ran from a string out to the door, and if somebody opened up the door, it would ring the bell, and he would go out and check on it.
Was he checking to see if he had a customer or checking to see if he had a burglar?
See if somebody came in and tried to steal hams.
They wanted to steal his hams.
Right.
Now, was that, where was this?
This was in Ashland. right outside Ashland.
The toll that your great-grandmother staffed, that toll chain, it's another, but that was out near, you said New Salem Church?
Yeah, it's just north of New Salem, is my understanding from one of my aunts. She's 94, and she doesn't remember that, but she told me stories about it.
And there were pictures to back that up. That was one of how many tolls or toll spots were there around Columbia?
There were three that I knew of. There's one right off Ashland Gravel Road as you were coming on Stadium. Of course, Stadium wasn't there. Then the one at New Salem Church. And then I believe they said one close to Claysville.
See, the thing that gets me is that now it would be pretty easy to, well, I'm not sure if it'd be easy or not, but it would be many alternate routes that you could take to get where you wanted to go. I'm not quite sure they had that kind of choice back then.
I don't think so.
And this was raised to pay for the roads.
That's right.
Hmm. Steve Black is our guest on our Heritage Show, and his great-grandmother, Lucy Ellis. Did she have any other claim to fame, or did your...
Not that I know
of. Was that Judge great-grandfather? Was that her husband?
No. His last name was Pauly.
I see.
Yes. It was on the other side of my mother's family.
Let's move then to some of your memories as being a kid growing up in Columbia and going back. You would have been in your very early years in the mid-50s up to around 1960. Let's talk particularly about the area out around Cosmo Park, because that's an area that you know quite well.
That's where I grew up. And basically, my parents had two homes there, one in back, and then we lived in the front home. It's directly across from Cosmo Park, and back during the 60s, I spent a lot of time over at the park with friends, it was just a great place to grow up. They had, back in the 60s, they had the wading pool over there, which was about 2.5-3 foot deep.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice, and of course, got to see a lot of the planes coming in from the airport, because the airport was still there. And it's just a good place to grow up. We used to go over at the golf course quite a bit, myself and two of my friends, and go in the lake and hunt for golf balls and sell them to the golfers as they come up. And people would recognize it if they're a golfer on number six.
Yeah. Talk more about that in a second. First of all, the road then that goes in front of Cosmo Park and between the businesses on the other side, was that Highway 40?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So that was Highway 40. So that you lived on the other side of Highway 40.
Yes.
By then there was the Interstate 70, right?
Yes, there was. Interstate 70 came through in 1959. And it was known then as Old Highway 40 West. Our address was 1902 Old Highway 40 West.
So how close was the interstate to your backyard?
It came right up to to the house in back of us.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't have been very far behind you. What was the noise like? Because, you know, I think of the noise now on I-70. There was nothing. It was nothing like that.
The noise wasn't bad. We never noticed it. You know, it's kind of like people said, would ask, doesn't the planes bother coming in, landing stuff? The old Ozark DC-3s. And we just never noticed it. Just never thought about it.
Did the I-70, some of the talk now is how that kind of divides the north part from the south part there, and I-70 doesn't have a lot of crossing places. There does down at the West Boulevard exit, and you can go further and you can go across it there where they have the diverging diamond interchange now, and there are places to cross it. But as a general rule, I-70 almost becomes this barrier. Was it anything like that back in the early 60s?
Well, before this interstate went through, you know, Clinkscales Road came all the way through to Highway 40, and Hunt Road came all the way through.
So I don't even know what Hunt Road is now.
Well, Hunt was brought back. If you're familiar with Parkside Manor, which is close to Candlelight, that's Hunt Road, but that used to go all the way through. Pennant Drive used to come all the way through. That was part of Candlelight Lodge's area there, which was the Pierce Pennant Motor Inn. And
when they came through, they ended there, though, didn't they? Because
yes,
of the
at
airport.
40.
So Clink Scales would come up and end there at 40.
Yes.
Wouldn't have gone across that. Go back to the motel or the hotel you just mentioned. What was that again?
Pierce Pennant Motor Inn.
Pennant, Pierce Pennant. So that would have been a stop along I-70. Probably would have been...
It was right across from the airport.
Oh, I bet that was kind of a neat little motor inn.
Yes. Well, that was Candlelight Lodge now.
So we were talking before we got started on the program about how, you know, the word is, and one of the news things about that is when that was a motor inn or a hotel was that Harry Truman stayed there.
That's right. He did.
So what have you got as far as the thoughts about that in the history file?
We had found a letter at Truman's library and with an envelope. The envelope had the address at 1406 Old Highway 40 West. And of course, it had no zip code then, and which we knew was from would be Candlelight Lodge's address. And he had written a letter to his wife and said, "There's been some problems. I'm going to have to go back to Washington," and so on, so on. Signed it and then dated it December 7th, 1942. Which, of course, is
Pearl Harbor.
And so he was staying there that evening when he got the telegram or telegraph, whatever, when he found out about that.
That wasn't, he was not president then.
No, I think he was senator.
Still senator before he had taken over as vice president.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, after that, taking on the presidency once President Roosevelt died. We're coming up on a break in just a second, but I'm thinking that, do you know the time period? And we'll come back after the break and talk more about Candlelight Lodge, because you said your family owned that, right?
No, well, no, it's just my myself.
Oh,
I was a co-owner,
uh-huh,
along with the Gross family were the main owners of it.
So that would have been as it transitioned from a hotel or a motor lodge to the Candlelight Lodge?
It was Pierce Pennant Motor Inn, and then Stevens College bought it. And had their girls fly some planes out of there,
uh-huh,
and taught them how to fly, and they lived there. Then in 1959, Ed Gross bought the place and decided to start up a retirement facility. And he did, along with two of his brothers. I think later on in the early 60s, he bought them out. And... he ran that until, I believe, about 1973 or 4, and then turned it over to his son, Randy Gross. And so he ran it for until he died in 1992. And in 1987 or 86... I was asked to come on full-time there, and I was only working part-time in the evenings and working another job, and I was asked to come on full-time and as the facilities manager, and was giving shares of ownership in it at the time.
So that's 25 years or so ago. You said 80s?
Been a lot longer than that. About 25.
Yeah.
And I'd been there... I was there 31 years total.
Mm. We'll come back and talk more about that when we continue. This is the Heritage Show, and our guest is Steve Black, a loyal, longtime listener to KFRU. I might even ask him how long he remembers listening to KFRU. That might be something we take up in another segment, but he's been often contributor filling in some of the blanks as far as even some of the subjects that we've raised on the Heritage Show in the past. And a good listener and good person from this community has spent his whole life here. And we'll come back and visit more with Steve Black after these messages on News Talk 1400 KFRU.
This is the KFRU Heritage Series, presented by Columbia EDP. More coming up on News Talk 1400 KFRU. This is the KFRU Heritage Series, presented by Columbia EDP, payroll that makes sense, from News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Our visit is with Steve Black on the Heritage Show today on News Talk 1400 KFRU. Steve Black, a person in this community that many people will know and have had connections with, and especially through KFRU. I said, Steve, before we went into the commercial there a moment ago, that you've been a contributor, at least as long as I can remember, on KFRU. Do you have any memories of early thoughts or listening to KFRU?
I do. My grandmother, who I spent time with during the summer days, and then who lived over on Low Street, if you're familiar with that, right off Pershing. And I recall her listening to the KFRU all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. So.
Well, we're glad you kept it up.
Yeah.
It's like a tradition, huh?
Yeah, it is.
I'm going to go back to the hotel for a second. I want you to describe a little bit more about Candlelight Lodge, but it was Pierce Pennant. Where'd that name come from?
It's Pennant Oil Company. And, you know, I don't have a lot of information on that, but it was Pennant Oil Company, and they their idea was to have hotels throughout across the United States where people could stay and as they travel. We were getting into the traveling stage, I guess, in the early or mid to late 20s and early 30s, and so that's where that name came from. And my understanding from several people is it went bankrupt, I believe, sometime in the late 40s. It went bankrupt.
The thing that surprises me, it was called a motor lodge. Is that right?
Yep.
See, a motor lodge to me would be like individual cabins, some of the things that I used to see over around St. Louis. But this was a building. This was a hotel
building. This was a large four-story white building. It had you parked your car in the basement. There was parking. There was in a place where you went in, a place where you went out, ramps in the basement. Then it had a large front building, three stories up front of the property. And that had a basically where you would check in, and they had dances there. You would go there and eat. And then there was a small building. Single level building where you could go and have your car, the oil changed in it, worked on, one thing and another, buy gas, that type of stuff.
How much of the original building is still there? What do we see when we drive by on the business?
The only thing that you're going to see on the original building is the old four-story white building.
Everything else is destroyed,
it's torn down.
And they had parking on the lower level of that building?
In the basement,
So what have they done with that now?
Well, the basement now is used to be, when it was opened up in 1959, all the way through probably 96, 97, was the, I believe it's still the lower dining room. It has a dining room downstairs, very nice one. And then a lobby area, a couple offices, and then a rec room, and a large rec room. It had a pool table, shuffleboard, and then on the back side was the boiler room, and a couple of bathrooms, and that's it.
Its heyday would have been then, because of the way you described it and because of people who have been out there know which way it faces, its heyday would have been when Highway 40 was coming through the front. I mean, it was built for the Interstate 70. This was a 40 building.
This was for 40, and, you know, the airport was there, and so it was built specifically for Highway 40. Yeah.
When you think of the airport and the times you used to go over there as a kid, how did the runways lay? Were they north, south, east,
north,
west?
North, south, east, west.
So they had two different runways?
Yeah. You know, your Ozark Airlines would come in always from the south heading north and land and take off the same way. And it went all the way to the end. The end would be, there was a pond down at the end of it. It's about a 40-foot drop. East and west, it went right in between the park and the golf course all the way to the end where Memorial Funeral Home is.
Yeah. So the golf course is pretty much now as it was then?
No, they didn't have the back nine.
I see. So it was a nine-hole golf course.
It was a nine-hole. And the gentleman that donated the land there, his name was Lindsay Nichols. And we had him at Candlelight Lodge for I'm thinking 5 or 6 years he lived there.
Well, that's what I would.
L.A. Nichols.
L.A. Nichols, I was going to say. I'm smart enough to figure that one out, I think.
Yeah.
Was it a busy place? Do you remember it as a lot of golfers there?
Yeah. During the summer, it's a lot. During the winter, not much going on. We would cut through there, through the park and through the golf course to, there was a big sled run that they put in, and I'm thinking it's 66 or 67 in the back of the golf course. It was really something, and it really had a steep hill, but they shut it down. Someone got killed over there, I think back in the early 90s, late 90s maybe, yeah.
So no longer are they able to have sled riding out there. I think that that's also, if I remember or if I know right, backside there is where they have some of that trail riding and things
yes,
of that nature.
Yes, it is.
Like the Rhett's Run, I think, is out there.
Sure.
Gosh, I'm thinking about how an airport there, how far out of town did that seem that it was at that time?
Well, we were outside city limits for where I lived for several years, and then the city limit sign moved up right by Sarles's, well, we call it the junkyard, which was at right across from Cosmo Park. And once it moved up there, of course, Sarles has moved out farther, out west. But at one time, the city limit sign was right there at the airport.
What were the amenities at the airport as far as when you think of the airport terminal and things of that nature?
I have a lot of good memories from there. We could go inside the area. Cotton Woods was the main guy there, and he would, you know, there was no fencing around the airport. We would cut across the runway, make sure no planes were coming to go to the golf course. And sometimes we'd see Cotton Woods heading down the runway in his green station wagon.
So the guy's name was Cotton Woods?
Cotton Woods. I think later he had the airport up north.
Yeah, at Cotton Woods, which is a camper area now at part of what has been the fairgrounds.
That's right. And the Weather Bureau guys were up there, and those were nice guys. We would watch them quite often fill up the balloons. There was a rectangle. It looked like a cracker box standing up. And it had a large garage door on it that they would open, and it had helium tanks inside, and they would fill up these big balloons and put the transmitter on the end of them. It'd transmit information back as they went up in the air.
What would you compare the size of those balloons to?
Well, they were pretty doggone big, but there was a fella up there, one of the weather guys, I believe his name was Harris or Harrison, and he told us once they went up so far, they got huge, maybe 30, 35 foot across, and would burst. And so, yeah.
That's how they used to take readings, though. I mean, we had a guest on the Heritage Show several episodes ago who had been out there and I think stayed with the National Weather Service when they moved their work out to the current Columbia Regional Airport, which is quite a way south of town.
Yeah.
Was there a lot of traffic?
Well, there was a lot of traffic, like football games here on Saturdays. The planes would line up on both sides of the east-west runway, and it would just be packed with planes, and you could go up through there and take a look at the planes and a lot of different planes.
Yeah, so it's amazing. It's like you said, there were no fences at that point in time. I mean, you just stroll through.
Yeah. In 19, I remember this well, in 1966, I saw my first blimp come in for a landing at the airport. And they were coming in on a Friday. On Thursday, it was during the fall, I saw these guys putting up a large pole with anchors down and cables and stuff. So I had to go up and check it out.
Yeah.
And I said, what's going on? And they said, we've got the Goodyear blimp coming in. And so they told me what time it'd be here. So went up there and saw that land. And
you'd have been, 11 or 12, 10, 11, 12 years
probably,
old at that time.
Yeah, and it was pretty amazing. So But talking about that whole area now, it's, of course, the park area, but thinking about the park, the you know, the 4th of July celebrations used to be at Cosmo Park every year, and it was just packed.
That was because the Cosmopolitan Club has been a big supporter of the fireworks.
Yeah, and it was huge. It was really big, and we had a bird's-eye view of it right across the street. So,
how many homes were across the street there? You mentioned a home. You grew up across the street there. See, it's hard.
Okay, I mean, there was Sarles. Their auto parts or junkyard, whatever you want to call it. Right next to them, they had a house there. And then right next to that was another small house. And then our two homes that we owned. And in the trailer court, there was two trailer courts, Mobile Home Parks Park trailer court and McDonald's trailer court. And I believe McDonald's is gone now. Park trailer court is still there. Inside, between those two, were, I think, three homes.
See, I just can't picture all
That's
of this.
About
because
it.
Right now, when I drive through that area there in front of the funeral home and then
it's
on,
all commercial.
On further out west, yeah, it's all commercial. And you get up there and you can't even think of anything being built there like
right,
that.
Right across from Memorial Funeral Home was a place called Teepee Town. And then
what is Teepee Town?
Teepee Town was a place my father used to work there years ago. And a fellow by the name of Chubb Armstrong owned that. And they sold guns, handguns, shotguns, fishing tackle, fishing rods, boats, motors, and liquor. And
except for the liquor, it almost sounds like Bass Pro Shop.
Well, and it's pretty close, but it was a small place, but they handled all that stuff. And then right next to it was called the Chippewa Restaurant.
You know, I'm thinking in today's sensibility, Teepee Town probably wouldn't be a name that you could probably get away with.
Well, probably not. You know, it's kind of like the Redskins, I guess.
Exactly. You knew what I was thinking about.
It was a it had a lot of neon on it, and it was a pretty neat place. I remember my father and mother selling fireworks out front there. And, of course, that was outside the city then.
So you could buy them there.
Yeah, sure.
This would be great visibility off of the interstate, too.
That was before the interstate.
Before the interstate. Yeah. So you could see that on Highway 40 as you were passing by.
Sure, yeah.
Highway 40 kind of took a bend there because I'm trying to think about how it goes, what is the business loop now all the way up to Hickman High School and through that area and where KFRU used to be on the east end of the business loop. That was all Highway 40. So you come out there, and that must have had a bend at where the roundabout is now, right after you get under the interstate on the north side there, and you got the roundabout, that would be the West Boulevard exit off of I-70.
Okay. Yeah.
And all that area there in Clinkscale, or no, that's not, not whatever the, Creasy Springs is what I'm trying
Creasy
to think
Springs,
about.
Creasy Springs, yes.
So all that area there, I mean, if that's Highway 40, it took a little turn there to go out by the airport.
I would say so. You mean the road?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Well, not a whole, you know, it wasn't too much of a turn there, I don't think.
I'm just
thinking
about where that roundabout is, and you come in, then you straighten out as you head out past Cosmo Park
right
now.
Right, yeah. Now, once you get past Cosmo Park and go down, and then you go down a dip and around a corner and so on. So.
But right now, I mean, that has been changed, of course, to accommodate what they needed as the stadium exit ramp and on-ramps there. And it's even changed more now that they've done the new intersection there.
Exactly.
Because what it would have done is gone further on out past where the Boone County Fire Protection District offices are. And then I think the real estate business or this real estate association is out there.
Yeah. You know, you know where the Holiday Inn Exec Center is?
Uh-huh.
Oh, there's a building just east of it. I think it's a office building.
Mm-hmm.
Right there, as a kid, when the city limit sign moved, we used to go out there and buy our fireworks. It was a place called the El Rancho Motel, and it was run by a Mexican family, and it was pink and green with pink and green neon.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just a one-level motel. That's all it was. Yeah.
Well, it got taken away with the eminent domain or whatever it is to make the interstate through there. Wow. And one of the things is, if you think of Highway 40 out further, like we're just talking about there, the interstate gets flattened out and straightened out quite a bit. But Highway 40 would have been kind of hilly out west of town there, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, it would have. Mm. Yeah.
We're going to take our final break. We're going to come back and continue our conversation. If anything we talk about in the Heritage Show triggers something that you say, yeah, I remember this, or I wish I could talk to him about this, you know, you can always email me with that information. We used to say that more than we do now, but my email address is david.lyle, L-I-L-E, at cumulus.com, or start a conversation some other way, and we'll try to fit that in with our Heritage Show. We take a break. When we come back, Steve Black is with us for one more segment on this Heritage Show at News Talk 1400 KFRU.
This is the KFRU Heritage Series, presented by Columbia EDP. More coming up on News Talk 1400 KFRU. This is the KFRU Heritage Series, presented by Columbia EDP. Payroll that makes sense. From News Talk 1400 KFRU.
We're enjoying our conversation about what Columbia was like in the 20th century. We started this conversation with Steve Black talking about his great-grandmother, Lucy Ellis, who used to run a toll gate down towards Ashland at, New Salem Church again, Steve?
Yes.
Right there where Highway 63 is, but it used to look a whole lot different. And she used to live in a house that was connected to what would have been a chain that was across the road. And in order to get through there and to use that road, you'd have to stop, get her attention, pay the toll, and she'd lower the chain.
Yep, that's right.
amazing to think of that at that point in time of history. And then we also talked about Steve Black's memory of being around what was the Columbia Airport, where Cosmo Park is, and the golf course out there, which was a nine-hole golf course. What was the Pierce Pennant Motor Inn, which became Candlelight Lodge, which is now the four-story white building out there, and Steve has had a long association with that. You said something else during the break you wanted to bring up about the park.
Yeah, back as a kid, I used to every Christmas, after Christmas was over with, you would bring your tree over to Cosmo Park and throw it in a certain area where it was a gravel area. And they would have a huge pile of trees. And I mean, there was, seemed like thousands of them. And I believe it was January the 10th or the second weekend of January, they would, the fire department would come over and douse this stuff with fuel oil and then set it on fire.
Now, did people show up to watch this?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, of course, we had the perfect view, you know. It was right across the road, and it was pretty amazing.
Amazing. That would have been something to see.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that if those trees had gotten dried, if they hadn't had any moisture on them or any kind of precipitation, that would be a huge bonfire.
Yeah, they went up like hair, I tell you. It was something.
Hopefully no planes were trying to land at that point in time. So that was kind of like a early January tradition.
Yeah, it was. One other thing, thing that we used to do as kids is there was a place across the interstate called Putt-Putt, and it was a miniature golf course.
Uh-huh.
And at the time, I was 12 or 13, and me and two of my friends would just hop the interstate fence, run across the interstate, stand in the medium there, and then wait until the cars went by and go ahead and cross over, hop the fence again. We were right there at the Putt-Putt place, so.
What's there now, do you know? Because that seems to ring a bell for me.
You know, Horton, it's a BMW place. It's what my wife said.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, so we played putt-putt. So one evening, we jumped the fence. My mother has no idea about this. So, we jumped the fence. We ran across the first part of the interstate and was waiting there for the trucks to go by. And here comes a highway patrolman. I said, oh, Lord, we're in big trouble. And there was three of us. He pulled off the side. He motioned for us to come over, so we went over. And my dad was very good friends with a couple of the highway patrolmen here in town, Howard Hoffman and Bill Smith. And this happened to be Howard Hoffman, who was a good guy. And he said, First thing I said, oh, you know me. And he said, yes, I do. And he said, you guys are in big trouble. He said, you're not supposed to cross the interstate. Do you know what those fences are for? And we told him yes. And so he said, don't ever do this again. He said, go back and cross over that fence and walk around next time. So, and he said, if you do it again, I'm going to have you guys pulling weeds along the fence from Stadium to West Boulevard. And that's a long ways. So we you know, that walking that far was a long ways. Well, we found a place right behind the old Wilkerson Nursery building where it went under the highway. And so we just went up underneath the highway and went through and came out on the other side.
Not a drainage ditch, was it, or anything?
Yeah, it was a culvert.
A culvert pipe.
Yeah, yeah. Went all the way through it.
That's smart.
So, yeah.
He wouldn't see you that way.
No, I hope not.
You went to school at, what were your schools?
I went to West Boulevard. When I first started kindergarten, I thought I was going to be going to Strawn School, which is out there on Strawn Road. It's no longer a school. But then my parents were informed, no, he'll be going to West Boulevard. So I went to West Boulevard. And I went to West Junior High School and then graduated from Hickman High School in 73.
What do you think about the events that you can remember from those? Because, you know, you're my generation. I can remember what I was doing at that point in time, but I wasn't in Columbia.
Yeah. You know, I remember the school being... When I first went to grade school, that I thought, my gosh, this is a huge building. And I told my mom, said, how do you like school? And I said, you know, the principal really does a good job of cleaning the bathrooms. And that's the only thing I could think of. The principal I had at that time was Mr. Marine. Was his name, was with school system for years and years. And then West Junior was Kent Kurtz.
Yeah.
I believe Mr. Kurtz is still alive. So,
How about Hickman? What were you involved in there? What was that like?
Not much.
Yeah.
You know, I was always, I did my regular courses and was looking for a job.
Yeah.
So,
what was around Hickman at that point in time?
Right across the street, let's see, there was, I don't remember the name of the place. You'd go over there and get a cheese Frenchie. Playboy Drive-In.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Was real popular.
Yeah.
And went to that quite often. And Der Wiener Schnitzel.
Yeah.
Up street. Mugs Up.
Yep. Mugs Up, which is still there.
Mugs Up, when I was a kid, used to be on Business Loop, the same building.
I see.
Yeah. And they basically picked that building up and set it where it's at now.
Really? I didn't know they moved the building.
Yeah. Do you know where, it used to be a Hardee's on Business Loop, right next to a car wash. And I really couldn't tell you what's there now.
Yeah, I think I know where you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they didn't have to move it far, but they moved it, picked it up, moved it.
Any other particular memories you have of the town? Any other parts of the city that you used to hang out with or in or thoughts? Just life in general in Columbia?
I used to just have a good time back during my teenage years, cruise the loop, you know.
What was the cruise? Just the Business Loop, go to one end and turn around and come
That's
the other
about
way?
That's about it. That's
from
about
where
it.
To where?
Usually from, you might go down as far as Westlake, the old KFRU.
I understand.
Right
yeah.
there and turn around. Sometimes you turn around at, before that, and then go through the different drive-thrus and stuff. King's was the name of that air drive-in right across from Hickman.
So it was a cruising the loop rather than cruising downtown around the blocks downtown.
Oh, no, you didn't go downtown.
Why was that? College? Too much college stuff or just seemed like a ways away?
It's just a ways away. You went down there during the spring when the girls came in. or came out, I should say.
The girls from Stevens or from the university?
And Christian. Yeah.
Oh, and Christian College also, yeah. Which was all girls at that
yeah.
point in time.
Yeah. So it was, I had a motorcycle and I had a, later on had a Camaro.
So. Ooh, a Camaro. That would be a nice cruising car.
I gave up the motorcycle. I got ran over. I was just sitting there on my bike and, she come up and ran over me and thought she was on top of me. So she ran back over my leg and. So I gave it up. Compound fractures and stuff like that.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I would say that would probably be a good reason to get into a Camaro instead of on a motorcycle right then.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. I mean, just thinking of that area, especially that we concentrated on, which would be West Business Loop,
yep.
basically. Northwest
yep.
Business Loop, Northwest.
Yep. I spend my time now, I make pins like the ones
yeah.
that I gave you guys.
Gave me a great pin, which is a bolt-action pin. It's shaped kind of like a bullet, and it's got the little clip here that will go over the pocket is a rifle.
Yeah. And then I play the fiddle.
Oh, you do?
I just started a year and a half ago. I have my instructor, Angela Claybrook. She's very patient with me. So I enjoy it. I have about 20 songs under my belt.
Oh, that's
so
neat.
I enjoy it.
I have to get you to play next time you come on, okay?
I doubt it.
Well, your family has been in this area a long time, would you say?
Yes. My mother and my father. My father passed away when I was 15 and a half. That's the reason why I started working at
sure.
Candlelight Lodge at that time. My mother, Ashlyn Gow, born and raised down in Ashland area. Most of our families on both sides, my father is one of 13,
mm-hmm.
and my mother is one of five. So large families,
large
get-togethers.
Family.
Yep.
Well, Steve, it's been nice to get to know you as a person who I have become familiar with just through phone calls and then through opportunities to see you and meet you every once in a while. And pleasure to have you as our guest on the Heritage Show. Thanks for spending the time with us.
Thanks for having me, David.
Steve Black, our guest. That's the Heritage Show this week on News Talk 1400 KFRU.
You've been listening to the KFRU Heritage Series, celebrating the history and heritage of Columbia and Boone County. Presented by Columbia EDP, payroll that makes sense. And News Talk 1400 KFRU, Columbia.